besides me. It's just you and me, Jim. This message is for you and me. It's for fathers. But no, it applies to all of us. But it was geared more towards fathers. But we all are called to be leaders, and we'll see that this morning through Joshua chapter 24. Being a spiritual leader, whether you're a father, a mother, a husband, a wife, man, woman, we all can be spiritual leaders. And God does call us to be spiritual leaders, and we'll see that this morning and just see how good God is this morning. Aren't you glad that God is good to you all the time? Even if you don't think God is good to you all the time, He is. Because every day you and I wake up, it's a good day. Because God has allowed us to wake up to another day. And I know there's probably days where you might think, I wish I wouldn't have woke up today. But it's still a good day because God is still on the throne. God is still in control. And if God has left us here, there's still work to be done. There's still things He wants to do in our life. There's still great and mighty things He wants to show us. And we just have to trust the Lord that He knows what He's doing. And again, happy Father's Day to all of those men. Maybe some that may be watching via live stream or watching it later at some point. Again, this morning is a challenge to the fathers, but it is an encouragement to all of us. Joshua chapter 24, looking at verses 14 and 15, if you would. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Father, we do thank you again this morning for your goodness. Thank you for the brand new day that you've given us, Lord. We don't take it lightly. Father, we know that every day is a gift from you, and every breath of air that we breathe in is a gift from you. Lord, having the right oxygen to be able to breathe in, we thank you for that, Father. Just thank you for your hand of provision, your hand of protection. Father, thank you for all that you do in our life, and I do thank you for every single person that is able to be here this morning. I know, Father, some are somewhere else, some are homesick, some are not feeling well. And I pray, Lord, you just minister to the hearts of all your people. I pray that you do encourage, Lord, through your word and the Holy Spirit, Lord, would comfort our hearts and remind us of the truths of your word and teach us what we need to learn today. As always, Lord, would you continue to teach the children? Now they're in junior church. I pray that you would continue to allow the word of God to take root in their hearts, that, Father, that they'd be drawn to Christ, they would learn to trust Jesus, and they would learn to follow. Help us, Lord, to continue to learn as adults how to follow Christ. But, Lord, give us ears to hear this morning. Help us not just to be hearers of the word, but doers as well. Help us, Lord, to truly trust you, to follow you, and to always rely upon you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Joshua was a great man of God. Not that he was greater than any other man, but he was a great man of God because he had chose early on in his life to be faithful to the one who was faithful to him. Joshua, you know, was the second leader of the nation of Israel after Moses, but before he was a leader, he was a follower. He followed Moses. He wanted to be with Moses. The Bible calls him Moses' minister. He was always there to help Moses. When Moses went up on Mount Sinai to get the commandments of God, and God told Moses to command the people not to come unto the mountain, not to even touch the mountain, lest they would die, no animals, no people. Yet Joshua remained there at the bottom of the mountain waiting for Moses to come back down. Joshua had a heart for God, and it is what God chose Joshua to be the next leader of Israel because of his heart for God. And because of his heart for God, God formed him. God transformed him into a good leader. But a good leader is one that follows, and that is the title of the message this morning, lead while following. It is geared towards fathers today, but it is for all of us this morning. God's word is complete. God's word's helpful for all of us. And I want us just to open our hearts and our minds to the Lord and let the Lord speak to us today. In Numbers chapter 27, verse 18, the Bible says this, "And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight." Again, Joshua was chosen by the Lord, and Joshua here, it says of Joshua that in him was the Spirit, not the Holy Spirit. It's not a capital S there in your Bible. It's a lowercase s. He had a right spirit, like I was saying. He had a spirit of wanting to serve God, to follow the Lord, and he's the only one that would trust the Lord and believe God had delivered the promised land into the hands of the Israelites when all the others would deny and be afraid and not go in. Several things that we can do today and every day to choose to be the leaders that God wants us to be. Again, he wants all of us to be spiritual leaders. There's somebody that's following you. There's somebody that is looking at you. Whether you know it or not, you are being, and I am being, an example to somebody else, whether good or bad, and we want it to be for good. We want it to be spiritually for good. Moses was a good example to Joshua, and Joshua became a good example for the next generation that would follow him. Because as they wander around in the wilderness for 40 years because they refused to go in the first time into the promised land, now Joshua is leading the children that have grown up in the desert 40 years. He's leading those into the promised land who did not choose to reject God. They just followed the decision of their parents to not follow the Lord, and it cost them to 40 years in the wilderness. But we can choose a couple different ways to be good leaders while following the Lord. Let me find a verse real quick. Let's just go ahead and take your Bibles, go to Numbers chapter 14. I was looking for a different verse real quick, and it escaped my mind. Go to Numbers chapter 14, and while you're turning there, I want you to think about what it says back in Joshua 24, when it says, "Now therefore fear the Lord." There's three ways that we can choose to be leaders while following. The first way is to fear the Lord. Fear the Lord according to verse 15, because Joshua tells the people, "Now therefore fear the Lord." And to fear means to stand in awe of, be awed, to reverence, to honor, or respect. All right? To revere the Lord. To fear the Lord is to revere the Lord, and we do that by trusting him. In Numbers chapter 14, again, to be a good leader, you have to trust the one that you're following. And as a leader, spiritual leader, we're following Jesus Christ. And Paul kind of said it in this way. He told the church at Corinth to be followers of him as he was following Christ. He wanted them to see his example of following Christ so that they would follow Christ. Again, how do you teach a child to do anything? You teach them by example. You say, "Look at what I'm doing. This is how you do it." And you teach them to be able to do what you want them to learn to do. We choose to fear the Lord, to be a good leader, a good spiritual leader. All right? Does everybody in the world fear God? No. but God's people should. There should never come a day in our life where we stop fearing God, where we stop standing in awe of such an awesome God. God's an awesome God, and we need to remain in a state of awe when we think about God. And we do this, we fear him by trusting him. Numbers 14, verse 6 through 9. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. You know the account. This is where they're there at basically the entrance of the promised land. Moses has sent the 12 spies in. 12 come back with their testimonies, and only Joshua and Caleb have a faithful testimony. The other 10 do not have a faithful testimony because the other 10 convince everybody they cannot go in the promised land, therefore they don't. But Joshua knows that God is able. He trusts God. To be a good leader, a good spiritual leader, I'll even say a good Christian, is to trust God. How can we teach anybody else to trust God if we don't? Now, I know everyone has they have to make their own choice. Everyone makes their own choice what they want to do. But we should at least be the spiritual leaders, the spiritual Christians, that we do lead by trusting God. I just recently, I had to encourage somebody, listen, trust God with your finances. Trust God with every decision in your life, because he promised he would never fail us. Now, I can't tell someone that if I'm not doing it. You know, it's not, you know, I can't say, you know, do as I say, not as I do. You know, I'm telling you what to do, but I'm doing something different. No, we lead by example, right? And our country is in short supply of good leaders that will stand up and take the lead, all right? There are some good spiritual leaders in our country that should be taking up the helm. They should be the leaders, all right? We need more godly leaders in the political realm. We need more godly leaders in the church. We need more godly leaders in the home. And understand, there are some homes that do not have a man who's being a godly spiritual leader. Therefore, the woman has to take that role. I understand that, and God blesses that, all right? But as I talk to men this morning, directly, we need to be the spiritual leaders that God calls us to be. Even the young men who are growing up to become men. They're young, they're teenagers. They need to learn how to be the godly spiritual leaders. Moses learned it by Joshua learned it by following Moses. All right, did Moses make mistakes? Yes. All right. Leaders make mistakes, but a good leader will admit his mistake. All right, to learn from it. Again, all of us must choose to fear God by trusting God. Again, notice, this is what Joshua says. If the Lord delight in us, and he does delight in his children, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord. How do you and I rebel against God? By not trusting him. What does a rebel do? He puts his nose up at authority. He turns his back on what's right. And though we would not say with our lips, I'm rebelling against God, but yet in our actions, God's people rebel against him by not trusting him. When you look at Numbers 14, when Joshua is trying to encourage the people not to rebel against God and to trust God, that look, God's the one that promised us the land, yet you had 10 other men who discouraged the people. and told the people, we can't conquer it. Joshua is trying to encourage them in the Lord. The Lord is able, but the men, the other 10 men, the wicked men, who were not good spiritual leaders, convinced the people that God was not able to. A good spiritual leader will convince people God is able. God is able. What can God not do in a person's life? What is it that God cannot help somebody with? Again, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. We don't need to fear the people of this world. I know there are people in political positions that have the authority over our country who do not fear God. I don't care. We still need to fear God, and we still need to follow God as we're leading others to follow. You and I have the ability to influence other people in the right way. And we need to take that responsibility that God's given us to be able to influence others for the right way. Now, will some people dismiss it? Yeah, they did with Joshua. You realize even when Joshua became the leader after Moses, there were still people that didn't do it God's way. Though they were in the family of God, they were part of God's people, yet they rebelled against the Lord even under his leadership. Okay, but again, I want us to do something that I was always told to do, and that's mentally draw a circle. In your mind, mentally draw a circle and then step into it and only focus on what's in the circle. Because we can easily think of somebody else that needs to do right. But it's not about other people. It is about us. It's about me. Drawing that circle, stepping into it and saying, Lord, speak to the one that's in this circle. Show the one that's in this circle what he or she is supposed to do. And then, Lord, help me to accomplish that. Help me to submit myself to you. The second way that we can fear the Lord is by submission. Again, fear is... the world teaches fear a one way. God teaches fear that, you know, we are to have respect to him. And you know what? We should be afraid of God. When I stopped being afraid of my dad as a little boy, it got me into trouble. And what I mean by that is when I stopped thinking that my dad was in control and my dad would punish me, well, I would do some things. I would choose to do some things without any regard to the consequences. And then when the consequences came, I learned to fear my dad in a healthy way again. We do need to fear God in the fact that, you know what, I don't want to disappoint him. I don't want to cause God to have to punish me in some way, because the Bible does teach that God does chastise his children. He says, not as the earthly fathers do it, for their own pleasures, the Bible says, but God does it for our benefit. But why even cause God to have to do any punishment in our life, any chastisement to help us to come back to the truth and to come back into line with what God has for our life? But to fear God is to trust in him and to submit to him. Look at Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. In verse 13 and 15. We're just living in a day and age where there is there's a short supply of godly spiritual men. I didn't say there's a short supply of Christian men. I said there's a short supply of godly spiritual men. There's a difference. And we need to, and I need to, have a heart like Daniel, that I'm going to live a life that brings glory to God, and I'm going to submit to God and not to man. The fear of man bringeth a snare, and that snare is not being faithful to God and not doing things God's way. But all of us can continue to fear God by trusting him and submitting to him, because we are in awe of our awesome God. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. They're saying Joshua was chosen by God to be that leader of God's people. He was to lead them into the promised land. He's at this night, in this evening, he is viewing Jericho, and he sees another man standing off against him. And he approaches him with his sword and says, Are you for us against him? He doesn't know who it is. But as soon as the Lord speaks, and this is an appearance of Christ before he came in the New Testament. This is I forget the theological term for it, but it's not pre-incarnate, but it is. This is Jesus Christ when he says he's the captain of the host of the Lord. There's only one captain, that's Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice, though, that Joshua, even though Joshua is the leader of Israel at this time, yet when the Lord speaks and says, But as captain of the host of the Lord I am now come, Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said, What saith my Lord unto his servant? Even though Joshua was a leader, he fell under the leadership of Christ. He fell on his face. He submitted himself to the one who is in control. And that is a picture for us, as though all of us are supposed to be leading others to follow Christ. But again, not like the Pharisees, where the Pharisees want everyone to do it their way. But we are to follow Christ as others follow us. They see our submission to the Lord. As I'm still raising children, they need to see their father's trust in God and their father's submission to God. I'm the leader of my home. I'm the head of my household, but yet I know God is above me. God has set things in order. And in our Christian life, God has set things in order, and God is the head of our life. And we are to trust the Lord. We are to submit ourselves to the Lord. Joshua did not have any arrogancy in his heart, any pride in his heart. When he went to this man, not knowing who it was, but went with, almost a military attitude of, okay, are you for us or against them? But as soon as the Lord spoke and he knew it was the Lord, he submitted himself. And you and I need to do that. When God speaks to us, we need to immediately submit ourselves to the Lord. That's the only way that you and I will be blessed and helped, if we submit to the Lord and submit to his authority in our life. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How do you resist the devil? Why do I need to resist the devil? Why does God even say, submit yourself to him, resist the devil? Because the devil's always trying to get us to stand in our own strength, to stand in our own confidence, to stand in our own pride, and to stand in our own sustainability. I can do it. I don't need anyone's help. I haven't had anyone's help all my life. I can continue to do it. Look, when I was young, I had to learn to take care of myself as a young teenager. My parents were divorced. My mom was working several jobs. She was not home much. I had to get myself ready for school. I had to get myself to school. I had to feed myself and provide my own needs at different times. I had to learn at an early age how to be a grown-up, even though I wasn't a grown-up. And I don't regret it, because look back, those years taught me how to grow up and to be mature. But I had to learn how to stop trusting in myself and start trusting in the Lord. And the Lord taught me lessons along the way. He took things away from me so I would learn to trust others to help me that wanted to help me. All right, so what I'm saying is there's different ways you and I have to submit to the Lord in our life, and the Lord teaches us that, you know what, resisting the devil's way and submitting to God's way. And God promises that he will take care of us, but you and I have to keep a healthy, godly, biblical fear of our Lord and Savior. Secondly, we need to remember the Lord. We need to fear him and we need to remember him. Look at verse 14 again of Joshua 24. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Now as we think about being a leader, leading by following the Lord, Joshua is told to remember, or Joshua tells the people of Israel, remember God, remember who brought you out of bondage, remember who brought you over the flood. The flood he speaks of is the Red Sea. They came across dry land through the Red Sea and watched their enemies drown and perish in the same sea as God caused the waters to come back over their enemies. He says, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, Jesus says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? In Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's every Christian's responsibility is to, in reasonable service, is to say, Lord, here am I belong to you. I want to be a good leader. I want to be someone who is able to lead others to follow you. I want to be an example of the believers. Paul told Timothy, be an example of the believers. But it takes us really trusting the Lord, submitting our life to the Lord, and remembering that, you know what? God has called me to this. I may not necessarily want to, but God's called me. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How are you and I going to know what is the will of God in our life? We have so many voices in our head at different times pulling us in different directions. Yet God has that soft, still voice, and we have to remember that God is Lord in our life, and he's Lord over our life, and we have to have our minds renewed, it says. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. A good leader never stops learning. A good leader never stops learning. Again, being a spiritual leader, being an example of the believers. Whether you and I like it or not, we are being an example to those around us. And people will use you and me as their excuse for why they aren't doing something for God. Now, that's not fair. Again, why are they using me for their excuse? Because people are always looking for excuses not to do what's right. And if they can find a Christian who they think is not living their life for the Lord, and they know them outside the church, and they see the two lives of how they are in church, how they are outside of church, they're always going to look at their life outside of church and say, okay, they're not, so I don't have to. Case in point, I did it. When I was a little boy going to church, they always had the deacons in the back, and they would open the doors for people to go in, and they always had their cigarettes smoking right there at the door, letting people in. My dad smoked. He didn't go to church all the times, but the times he went, that was my excuse. Well, if they can do it, I can do it. I mean, they're supposedly Christians and they're smoking, so what's the big deal? And that's the way humans are. We look to other people to excuse what we do. But then when the Lord comes into that life and shows us the truth, shows us the right way, then we have to choose, am I going to fear God and live by his ways that I know will bless me? Am I going to remember that the Lord has brought me out of bondage, not for me to put myself back under bondage? Again, Joshua in 24, these two verses, 14 and 15, he's challenging the people of God. They've come to the end of conquering the promised land. They have not fulfilled God's word. God said, let nobody remain alive. They were to kill all the enemies of God, but they kind of caused some to be tributaries to them. They kind of, you know, put taxes on some of them. They kept some of them alive and caused them to pay them tributary, caused them to pay them, you know, some money and all of this. And they didn't fully get rid of all the people that God wanted them to take care of. And it caused them problems later on. But here Joshua is saying, okay, look, here's the end. We have to choose to either follow God or not follow God. There's no middle ground, like I talked about in Sunday school. There's no middle ground. You can't remain silent and think that that's not making a choice. It is. When a Christian remains silent, they've made a choice, and the choice is not to follow God. The choice is not to do what God has said. Something, well, I'm just saying neutral. There is no neutrality. Because if we don't stand for God, we're standing for the world, whether we say it or not. And God wants us to remember him. He wants us to remember that we are to worship him in spirit and in truth. And how do we do that? Well, we do it through genuine worship. We remember the Lord through our sincere worship. Not everybody will agree with you, and that's okay. I know young people, and there are some adults as well, that fall into peer pressure. They allow the peer pressure to cause them to choose and to do things they normally would not do. It's okay if people don't agree with your faith and don't agree with your relationship with God. We're in a world that does things contrary to the ways of God. Just because the world legalizes it, just because the world says it's okay, doesn't mean that it's not sin. Sin is still sin. God hasn't changed. But you and I can choose to worship God in a sincere, genuine way. It says, serve him in sincerity and in truth. Look at Acts chapter 9, if you would. Let's look at Paul for a moment as Paul is in the temple of God, speaking to people. Paul had a genuine, sincere worship for God. Paul learned that everywhere he went into the temple. He went into the synagogues. Remember, Jesus did the same thing when Jesus was walking on this earth. The 3.5 years of his ministry, every town he went to, he always went into the synagogue. When he was in Jerusalem, he'd go into the temple. He spent time among people. He spent time worshiping the Heavenly Father. Paul spent time worshiping. Acts chapter 9, look at verse 20 and 25, 20 through 25. Straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Sincere, genuine worship is to truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God. There are many that are gathered together on this Sunday in churches that do not believe Jesus Christ. And I say they're gathered together in churches very loosely because a church is a called out assembly of born again believers. But there are those that are gathering in their so-called worship places that do not believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But you and I, if we truly believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then there must be a sincere, genuine worship. serving him in sincerity and truth. Now, back in Joshua, stay in Acts, but in Joshua he said, serve him. Serving is worship. Because remember, that's exactly what the priests did. Eli and all the other priests, they worshiped God by their service. They had different duties they had to do as priests, and it was considered their worship, serving. So serving him in sincerity and truth, worshiping him. Straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem? Again, he's preaching that Christ, Jesus Christ, is the Son of God, and there are those there that know who Paul is and who and what he had done. Consented to the death of Stephen, jailing Christians, killing Christians, hauling Christians off to prison. They say, isn't this the one that was destroying these people? Right? It's okay. Someone remembers who you were before you got saved. And they may even bring that up to you. It's okay because God doesn't remember. God has removed our iniquity as far as the east from the west. God doesn't bring it up. God doesn't bring up our past life and what we've done. If we have asked Jesus Christ into our life and we've put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation and him alone, we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. What I did in my past before salvation is God doesn't think about it. Unfortunately, people do, and we can't do anything about it. But listen, that doesn't mean we stop talking about the truth of Jesus Christ. And straightway he, Paul, preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent? This was in Damascus, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul. They watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night, let him down by the wall in a basket. Paul had a sincere worship for God because his life had been transformed. Remember, he was on the road to Damascus. He was headed to Damascus to bring Christians back to Jerusalem, to condemn them to death, to kill them, to try to intimidate them, to denounce Christ. And yet his life was changed drastically by Jesus Christ, and now he had a true, sincere worship for the Lord. Because the Lord told him, you're kicking against the pricks. Basically, Paul thought he was doing God's service. He thought he was serving God by what he was doing, but he realized he wasn't. And notice in Joshua 24, he says, serve him in sincerity and in truth. So we need to have a sincere worship of God and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood. All right, there needs to be a true worship. He says, put away the gods. Thinking about back to the Israelites who Joshua was talking to, they came out of Egypt and many of them brought some relic, some religious symbol with them because the Egyptians had multiple gods they worshipped, and the Israelites fell into worshiping those multiple gods, and they had little relics and stuff that they had brought. These kids that are now grown up, they have inherited the parents' way of worship. And Joshua is like, you know what? You need to serve the Lord. Get rid of any gods that may be in your life, and the Lord will show us what is. All right? You may not be bowing down to a statue. You may not be praying to angels and saints and counting the beads. But for many, money is a god. There's things in our life that we think our children can become our own god, where our life is so wrapped up in them, we have no time for God. Some wrap up their life in their job. Some wrap up their life in isolation. There are so many things that we can make a God in our life. And we've got to be careful that, again, for us to have true, sincere worship of God is to truly trust Him, submit our life to Him, allow Him to be in control of our life, and separate the way that we worship from the world. Again, he says, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, which obviously never helped them. The false gods of this world can't help anybody. Now, the devil can do some things. The devil can help people be rich. The devil can give people power, but it's not going to last. He only does that to get them in bondage, to get them blinded, so they never see the truth. Again, the father served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Again, all of us, the fathers especially, because we have so much riding upon our shoulders as the leaders. Doesn't matter if our children are grown up, we still have to be the spiritual leaders that they can look to, that they can see direction, they can see where they can go to get help. And you know what? So what if nobody even wants to follow? We still need to lead. We need to be the ones that do follow the Lord in sincerity and to worship Him in sincerity. So you know what? No one can ever say, well, they were a hypocrite. They said one thing and lived another life. Yeah, people will say what they want to say, but may it not be true. May we have such a testimony that, you know what, as the Bible says, they're ashamed because they speak evil of us, because we have such a strong testimony. Listen, again, I know it's Father's Day, but this is for every single child of God. This world that we live in needs godly people. Godly people to stand up. Doesn't matter if the rest of the family doesn't. There needs to be somebody that does. Joshua and Caleb were the only two that stood up. The only two. And guess what? God blessed them because they were allowed to go into the promised land 40 years later, but God still allowed them to. Why don't you look at verse 15 real quick? Had a few more notes on the last point, but skipping down to verse 15. Joshua says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua made a very strong statement. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now again, everybody makes their decisions. Everyone makes their own choices. The prodigal son decided to leave home. Okay, you can't stop someone from doing what they want to do. You can encourage them to do what's right. But it's a strong statement, because how can Joshua guarantee that his entire household will serve the Lord? Because he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, Joshua being the leader of his home, as long as he's leading his home, as long as his children are under his authority, he's going to lead them in serving the Lord. He's going to lead them in doing what's right. And I guarantee you, as a good father, pray and hope that their hearts are drawn to God so that they will make the decision to follow the Lord the rest of their life. Joshua is not some perfect father. He's not a perfect, if I can say, Christian. He made a mistake. He had a heart for God and God chose him, but there came a day when he decided to be self-sustainable and not rely upon God and make a decision that caused problems to the rest of the people. And that was, he made a league with a group of men that came to him pretending to be from a faraway country. He did not seek God's guidance. He did not seek discernment and wisdom from God. Lord, you know the hearts of all men. Show whether or not these men are true in what they're saying. He just took them at face value and said, okay, you have peace. If we come anywhere near you, we won't destroy you. Well, it was one of the next few cities. And Joshua basically says, you guys deceived us. But he couldn't go back on his word because he promised in the name of the Lord. What am I saying? None of us are perfect, but we should have a heart's desire and determination to follow God every day of our life so that we can be a good leader to those who are following behind us. And that some will even want to follow. What does it look like for someone to follow you? Well, given an illustration of Paul in prison, when the earthquake shook the prison cells, the doors all flew open, and the Philippian jailer was going to commit suicide because he assumed all the prisoners escaped, Paul cried out, do thyself no harm. We're all here. And the Philippian jailer did not, you read the story, did not go around and start shutting all the cell doors and making sure, okay. The Bible says he got a light, he sprang in, fell at Paul's feet and said, what must I do to be saved? So it was Paul's attitude in a dark prison cell that caused the Philippian jailer to want what he has. Does anybody see the light of Christ shining through us that they desire it? Now, it's not up to us to save people. I can't save anybody. I can't cause anybody to believe the truth just by me telling them. But you know what? People are watching. How will my children learn to trust God? How do people learn? They learn by example. They learn by somebody showing them things. You know, when you think about children, and God does call us His children, children need to see an example. And you and I are that example. We're living in a day and age where God's people don't need to walk into the closets and shut the door. Because those that used to be in the closets, the homosexuals, the pedophiles, they're all out in the open now. Society embraces them. The culture embraces the wickedness, the sinfulness of man. And it seems like the Christians are voluntarily going into the closet they came out of and closing it. We don't need to do that. The Christian men need to stand up and be godly men with the Lord's help. But all of us as God's people need to remain standing, not in our own strength, but in the strength of the Lord. Jesus' words are still true. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Because remember, Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, he said, keep my commandments that you love me. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep his teachings. Keep his words. What was it? Jesus taught so much. But here's one thing he said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The good works they're going to see is Christ working in us and through us. And us choosing to let our light shine. Choosing to let Christ shine through us. Choosing to be the godly Christian leaders that God wants us to be. I know there are different positions in a church, but we're all called to be leaders. Because again, we're leading somebody else to follow Christ. We're leading someone else to trust in the Lord. Remember when Jesus came on the scene after being baptized by John the Baptist, starting his ministry. You had Andrew, who went and got Peter and said, hey, we found him. And Peter came to Christ because somebody led him to the Lord. Same I think it was Philip came. Nathan came because someone led him. Said, come and see. You know what I'm saying? Your life and my life matters how we live. Letting the light of Christ shine. Because whether we do it or not, the world is recruiting people to its side. The world's recruiting the people to its side, and we need to recruit people to God's side, and we do it by leading, by challenging. When you look at Joshua chapter 24, he challenged the people to make a choice. Now, you don't necessarily have to go up to someone and say, you know what, you need to choose today if you're going to believe in God or not. Now, God may have you do that with somebody that you know, someone that has been kind of struggling with it, you know. My wife did that. The Lord used my wife one night to say, I love you, but you're going to hell. Good night. I mean, that was kind of like, you need to choose God or else. And I laid there and I thought a few minutes and like, do it tomorrow. But there was a sweeter voice that was speaking saying, no, now is the day of salvation. You need to do it now. Yeah, I guarantee tomorrow. And I just remember having that struggle on the inside. But I finally gave in to the Lord and I cried out to the Lord to save me. All because somebody was willing to just tell me the truth. Sometimes we feel like, well, it's not my place. If you love that person, it is your place. But again, even just challenging someone to trust the Lord. Joshua wanted the people to trust the Lord. Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host. Command the people, saying, prepare ye victuals. For within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. He challenged them to follow the Lord by saying, the Lord has given this to you. But he also challenged the families because he told them, as far as me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Listen, the world's not going to change. The world we live in, the country we live in, is just going to get worse and worse. It's not going to change. Not until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. You have family members that refuse to believe in God and trust the Lord. You may have children that just refuse to give their life to the Lord. Don't give up on them. But don't allow their refusal in following God to keep you from following God and trusting the Lord and sincerely worshiping Him, knowing you have the best thing in this life. And that's the gift of salvation. That's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'll say again, us men need to be the leaders. We need to be the godly spiritual leaders at this country and this state and this city and this church needs. Our homes need it. Our families need it. Our friends need it. Our children need it. But all of us. Listen, one thing I want to hear when I see my Savior face to face is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not that I've done everything perfect, because I haven't. There's many times I've had to get back on the horse because I fell off. I've had to dust myself off and keep walking when I didn't want to. Because I'm trusting the Lord to help me. I'm following the one who never fails. A good leader points to the one that's helping. Again, you know athletes, football athletes, baseball, basketball, you name it. They all they pound their chest because, you know what, they did it. Even though they point to the sky, yet they pound their chest like, I did it. They're not really giving glory to God. They're giving glory to themselves. Today, continue to trust God. And if you've kind of faltered in trusting God, then commit back to trusting God. Again, I can point to a whole bunch of people that aren't doing it, and I'm like, Lord, why should I? Sometimes I get the Elijah syndrome. I and only I. Because you just see the wickedness. You see just people not even wanting to do what's right. But then the Lord reminds me, okay, draw the circle, step into it, and focus on the one in the circle. How am I doing? And I'll be honest, I am not doing 100%. But I sure do want to strive to be 100% for the Lord.